According to normal practice, he will be giving up his position to a new state leader. About 4 months ago, the Chinese Communist Party held its 16th National Congress, during which chairman of the 9th MPC Li Peng and premier of the State Council Zhu Rongji were not on the ballot of a new party leadership. That means they too will be giving up their posts. Premier Zhu has presented the government worker polls to the MPC sessions 4 times already, but this time will almost certainly be his last. He is well known for his humor, quick wit, and straightforwardness. In the past 5 years, his administration has successfully managed to keep China on the fast development track despite twists and turns in the national economic life. Back in 1998, when Zhu came to reign, China's consumer spending was almost drying up, and the country's economy was under great pressure from the regional financial crisis that had paralyzed the rest of Asia. But 5 years later, China's GDP has reached 10.2 trillion yuan, a 7.7% increase year-on-year from 1997. China also has accumulated foreign reserves worth $286,400 million, double the 1997 figure. Now, China ranks 5th in terms of import and export volume. That's a colossal up from its number 10 ranking just 5 years ago. Present-day China has also become an important player in the World Trade Organization. You're watching a live coverage of the 10th National People's Congress brought to you by China Central Television. Now the deputies, now the senior state leaders are coming onto the stage. President Jiang Zemin is walking at the very front with Party General Secretary Hu Jintao following him closely. All the other party and state leaders are also walking with them to the podium. The newly elected executive chairman of the presidium of the MPC has more than 6, and right now they are being seated. According to sources, the newly executive chairman of the presidium of the 10th MPC will be presiding over the meeting. The more than 2,900 MPC deputies are arranged into 35 delegations, which are grouped together on the basis of provinces, autonomous regions, cities under the direct jurisdiction of the central government, PLA Group, Hong Kong, and Macau SARs. Also joining them are more than 2,200 non-voting deputies of the CPPCC, or Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. The governors and party chiefs of provinces and autonomous regions, and mayors of the party chiefs of the directly administered municipalities of Beijing, Shanghai, Tianjin, and Chongqing are also included on the delegation. And these dignitaries are usually seated at the very front of the delegation. You're watching a live coverage of the 10th National People's Congress, brought to you by CCTV9, China Central Television's English channel. According to sources, the meeting will be presided over by Wu Bangguo, the Executive Chairman of the Presidium of the 10th MPC. Now he is opening the meeting. Deputy, the first session of the MPC, And the people who are present at the meeting are 2,983. And the abstentions are 67, so the number of participants are 2,916. So the number of participants has reached the required number to open the assembly. Now I declare the first session of the 10th National People's Congress of the People's Republic of China now begins. Applauses from the deputies. Please rise. And the national anthem of the People's Republic of China is played. This NPC will witness a generation of transfer of power. Hu Jintao, the only re-elected member in the former Politburo Standing Committee before the 16th Party Congress, will become the new state leader of the country. After this NPC session, the other elected members of the Politburo Standing Committee members during the Party Congress will take over the other top positions. Now is the National Anthem of the People's Republic of China is being played. And Chairman Wu Bangui is asking the deputies to sit down. Deputies, and he is inviting Premier Zhu Rongji to step forward to give his government work report. Overwhelmed by applause from the deputies, Premier Zhu Rongji is walking to the podium to deliver the government work report, his last as Premier to the NPC. Now I'll give it to Dong Wei and Dang Bing.
Fellow deputies, on behalf of the State Council, I ask the report on the work of the government during the past 5 years to the first session of the 10th National People's Congress and put forward a number of suggestions on this year's work for your examination and approval. And also for comments from members of the National Committee of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. The report has been distributed to the delegates and deputies. So here I'm not going to read the entire report. Or rather, I will concentrate on the key points of the report. Part 1, review of the work of the government in the past 5 years. The 5 years since the first session of the 9th National People's Congress have been an extraordinary period. Soon after this government took office, the Asian financial crisis struck, and the world economic growth stagnated. Domestically, irrationalities in the industrial structure became critical, and large numbers of workers were laid off from state-owned enterprises. Catastrophic floods struck in 1998 and 1999. Under the leadership of the Communist Party of China, our people of all ethnic groups have forged ahead, worked still harder in solidarity, surmounted numerous difficulties, and made great achievements in reform, opening up, and economic and social development that have won worldwide recognition.
During the past 5 years, the national economy maintained good growth momentum, and important advances were made in the strategic restructuring of the economy. The economy maintained a high growth rate. China's GDP achieved an average annual increase of 7.7% when calculated in constant prices. The quality and efficiency of economic growth improved constantly. National tax revenue grew by an average annual increase of 205.3 billion yuan to 1.8914 trillion yuan in 2002. Based on the issuance of 660 billion yuan of long-term construction treasury bonds over the 5 years, 3.28 trillion yuan of bank loans and funds from other sources were generated for investment, allowing us to accomplish many large undertakings we had been wanting but unable to undertake for years for lack of resources. By concentrating our resources, we completed a number of key infrastructure projects of nationwide significance. The investment in these projects nationwide totaled 356.2 billion yuan for the 5 years, which was equal to the total investment in this field from 1950 through 1997 after adjusting for price changes. A number of key water conservancy projects were launched or completed. Work on reinforcing 35,000 kilometers of river embankments was started. Over 3,500 kilometers of main dikes of the Yangtze River and nearly 1,000 kilometers of dikes of the Yellow River have been reinforced, and their capacity to withstand floods has been greatly increased. The second phase of the Three Gorges Water Control Project on the Yangtze River, which has attracted world attention, will soon be completed. Water control facilities such as the one at Xiaolongdi on the Yellow River became operational, and construction on the South-North Water Diversion Project was begun.
Transport developed on an unprecedented scale. In the past 5 years, China invested 1.2343 trillion yuan in highway building, which was equal to 170% of the figure for the period from 1950 through 1997 after adjusting for price changes. Expressways increased from 4,771 kilometers to 25,200 kilometers, lifting China from the 39th to the second place in the world. Construction of postal and telecommunications facilities greatly expanded. The length of installed long-distance optical cables increased from 130,000 kilometers in 1997 to 470,000 kilometers in 2002. And the number of fixed line and mobile phone subscribers increased from 83.54 million to 421 million, ranking China first in the world. Construction in the energy sector was further intensified. The installed power generating capacity increased from 254 million kilowatts in 1997 to 353 million kilowatts in 2002. The infrastructure improved remarkably, which significantly increased the capability for our future economic development. Over the past 3 years since the introduction of the Western Development Strategy, the government has given a powerful push to the region's development by increasing investment, stepping up transfer payments, and introducing preferential fiscal and taxation policies. Smooth progress was made on such major projects as the Qinghai-Tibet Railway, the diversion of natural gas and electricity from the western to the eastern regions, water control projects, and trunk highways.
Our capability for sustainable development was enhanced. The spending on environmental protection and ecological development in the 5 years reached 580 billion yuan, amounting to 170% of the figure from 1950 through 1997. Six forest ecological projects, reforesting formerly cultivated land, protecting natural forests, and controlling the sources of dust storms affecting Beijing and Tianjin were carried out in full. The tendency towards worsening environmental pollution has, on the whole, been arrested. New progress was made in the protection of natural resources. With the natural population growth rate down to 6.45 per thousand, China has entered a new period of low and stable birth rate.
In the past 5 years, the reform and opening up achieved many breakthroughs, and the basis of a socialist market economy was established. The objective of turning state-owned enterprises around within 3 years was basically attained. Most large and medium-sized key state-owned enterprises attained by and large the goal of establishing the modern corporate system, and a number of dynamic and competitive enterprises have come to the fore. Further progress was made in opening up and revitalizing small and medium-sized state-owned enterprises. The joint stock company sector of the economy expanded continuously. Individually owned businesses, private enterprises, and other non-public sectors of the economy developed fairly fast. The national economy has become more market-oriented, and the basic role of the market in allocating resources has become noticeably stronger. Significant results were achieved in straightening up and improving the order of the market economy. Large-scale nationwide campaigns were carried out against smuggling, fraudulently obtaining tax and foreign currency benefits, and producing and selling counterfeit and shoddy goods. And criminals found to have seriously undermined the market order were punished in accordance with the law.
Reforms of the banking, fiscal, taxation, investment, and financing systems were deepened. A banking system compatible with the growing socialist market economy has begun to take shape. Reform of the wholly state-owned commercial banks and policy banks proceeded steadily, and the securities industry has developed through progressive standardization. Reform of the insurance industry was deepened. Our ability to prevent or diffuse financial risks has improved. A rudimentary public finance framework compatible with the socialist market economy came into being. The ways of investment and financing diversified.
The framework of a social security system was established by and large. The establishment of basic old age pension and medical insurance system in urban areas has made significant headway. Systems of basic living allowances for laid up workers from state-owned enterprises, unemployment insurance, and subsistence allowances for the urban poor were established. The coverage of social security programs continued to expand.
Opening up was expanded in greater scope and depth. The combined volume of imports and exports increased from $325.2 billion in 1997 to $620.8 billion in 2002, raising China from the 10th to the 5th place in the world. The amount of foreign direct investment actually used over the past 5 years came to $226.1 billion, more than the total used in the 1979 to 1997 period. Owing to our going global strategy, outbound investment, construction contracts for overseas projects, and labor cooperation programs kept growing. China became a full member of the World Trade Organization in December 2001, which was a new landmark in our opening up.
In the past 5 years, our scientific and technological innovativeness improved noticeably and education developed vigorously. Outstanding achievements were scored in building socialist democracy and a socialist spiritual civilization. Significant headway was made in basic research and high-tech and applied technology studies. significant progress was made in establishing China's innovation system. The process of applying scientific and technological achievements to industrialized and commercial production was noticeably accelerated. Areas kept expanding where the 9-year compulsory education had basically become universal and where illiteracy among the young and middle-aged had been basically eliminated. Senior secondary education was strengthened. Institutions of higher learning have enrolled more students every year since 1999. Democracy has been improved steadily. Implementing the basic strategy of governing the country by law, we performed our official duties in strict compliance with law and speeded up the government's efforts to promote the rule of law. Numerous measures for comprehensively improving law and order in the country have been implemented. The public security situation in society has taken a turn for the better. Fresh achievements have been made in promoting spiritual civilization. We made more intensive efforts to study and publicize Deng Xiaoping's theory and important thought of three represents. More emphasis was placed on ideological and moral development. Scientific knowledge was further popularized. Literature and art, the news media and publishing, and radio, film and television developed in an all-round way. Reforms and development in culture, health and sports were accelerated. Our work concerning ethnic, religious and overseas Chinese affairs was improved.
In the past 5 years, our people's lives improved notably and on the whole attained a level of being well off. The income of urban and rural residents grew continuously. The per capita disposable income of urban dwellers achieved an average annual increase of 8.6% in real terms. The per capita net income of rural households increased by an annual average of 3.8% in real terms. The balance of savings deposits of urban and rural residents rose from 4.6 trillion yuan in 1997 to 8.7 trillion yuan in 2002. The number of rural poor decreased from 49.6 million to 28.2 million. In these 5 years, the economy grew relatively fast and prices remained fairly low, resulting in more tangible benefits for the people. The level of consumption rose noticeably. The total volume of retail sales of consumer goods increased by an annual average of 10.5% in real terms. The per capita living space of urban dwellers increased from 17.8 square meters in 1997 to nearly 22 square meters in 2002. And that for rural dwellers from 22.5 square meters to 26.5 square meters. Such household appliances as TV sets, washing machines and refrigerators became more common, and an increasing number of families acquired computers and cars. People's health has come to a higher level, with the average life expectancy reaching 71.8 years in 2002, close to that of a medium-level developed country. We have succeeded in establishing, on the whole, a well-off standard of living in this country of nearly 1.3 billion people. And this is a great victory for our socialist system and a new milestone in the history of development of the Chinese nation. National defense and army building have made new strides in these 5 years. Fresh progress was made in promoting the great cause of national reunification, and a new chapter was begun in diplomatic work.
Fellow deputies, these past 5 years, saw our people of all ethnic groups press ahead on the road to socialism with Chinese characteristics under the guidance of the spirit of the 15th and 16th Party Congresses. These years saw our country undergo great changes with each passing day, as its endeavors flourished and its people's lives improved significantly. These were years of social stability, ethnic solidarity, and rising international influence for China.
In doing the work of the government during the past 5 years, we unswervingly took Deng Xiaoping theory as the guide for government work, conscientiously implemented the important thought of three represents, and carried out the party's basic line and basic program in their entirety by emancipating our minds and seeking truth from facts. We firmly kept economic development as our central task, vigorously pushed reform and opening up, properly balanced the relationships among reform, development, and stability, and actively promoted the coordinated development of material and spiritual civilizations. In the course of rich and vibrant practice, we have accumulated a wealth of valuable experience. The following are the main features of our work for the past 5 years and what we have learned from it.
1. Maintaining the right direction and intensity of macroeconomic regulation and implementing the proactive fiscal policy and the prudent monetary policy. 2. Develop the socialist market economy, we must strengthen and improve macroeconomic regulation. The most important measure we took in response to the grim international economic environment and the weak domestic effective demand in the past few years was to resolutely shift the focus of our macroeconomic regulation from the appropriately stringent fiscal and monetary policies aimed at checking inflation to the proactive fiscal policy and prudent monetary policy to expand domestic demand and curb deflation. Moreover, we improved our policies and measures in good time and fine-tuned our regulation to ensure good results.
Balancing accounts by always keeping expenditures within the bounds of revenue is an important principle we should follow in our economic work. The proactive fiscal policy we followed during the past few years and the issuance of long-term construction treasury bonds were special policies implemented under special circumstances. We have made it a rule not to allow a deficit in our regular budget and not to exceed the deficit level projected at the beginning of the year in our capital development budget. When bank savings are up considerably and the supply of materials is abundant, and when prices are down continuously and interest rates are low, issuing treasury bonds for economic development serves multiple purposes. It can put idle production capacity to use and stimulate economic growth. And it can lessen the bank's interest burden without incurring inflation. We funnel the capital raised from long-term construction treasury bonds primarily to infrastructure development and incorporated this into the readjustment in industrial structures, technological renovation of enterprises, development of science technology, and education and improvement of the ecological environment. In doing so, it paid particular attention to the needs of the central and western regions. Management of the projects financed by treasury bonds was tightened to avoid redundancy and inappropriately high standards and to ensure better cost effectiveness. While boosting investment demand, we also took care to foster and expand consumption demand. mainly by increasing the income of low and middle income residents in both cities and the countryside. Since 1999, we have raised the basic salaries of government employees and retirees' pensions 3 times. We have also introduced a system of year-end one-time bonuses and hardship post allowances for employees in remote and inhospitable areas. Benefits for retirees from state-owned enterprises were improved. Social security benefits for all types of beneficiaries were raised considerably. A variety of measures were taken to increase the income of farmers.
Our success in macroeconomic regulation over the years was also attributable to the importance we attached to financial work and the continued prudent monetary policy, emphasizing necessary banking support to economic development without line expansion of bank credit, while giving top priority to providing supplementary loans for treasury bond projects. Banks also provided working capital and loans in support of technological transformation for enterprises. The proactive fiscal policy and prudent monetary policy we adhere to were effective in facilitating rapid economic growth and cultivating and expanding sources of government revenue. At the same time, due to the constant improvement in the fiscal and taxation systems and better tax collection and management, the financial strength of the central government has increased significantly, resulting in more transfer payments to the local governments, while providing tax refund and structural subsidies. The central government increased its transfer payments to local authorities from 66.4 billion yuan in 1997 to 402.5 billion yuan in 2002, with the total reaching 1.2319 trillion yuan for the whole period. Of this sum, 177.7 billion yuan was used by the localities to fund guaranteed living allowances and unemployment insurance for laid-off workers from state-owned enterprises and subsistence allowances for needy urban residents. An additional 175.5 billion yuan was used for pay raises for government employees at the local level. These measures played an important role in increasing domestic demand, promoting coordinated development among different localities, and maintaining social stability.
2. Unswervingly taking economic restructuring as paramount and working hard to improve the quality and efficiency of economic growth. In China's new economic landscape characterized by conclusive changes for the period, we must make strategic readjustment to our economic structure. We have taken care to focus the energy of all quarters on structural readjustment and improve the quality and efficiency of economic growth and done our best to strike a balance between speed on the one hand and structure, quality and efficiency on the other. We have been steadfast in making comprehensive readjustment to the industrial structure and coordinating economic development between regions and between cities and the countryside, focusing especially on readjusting the industrial structure. First, we strengthened infrastructure. This was an inevitable choice in readjusting the industrial structure when the processing industries had surplus capacity, for it has not only removed the bottlenecks, but also spurred growth in equipment manufacturing and other related industries. Stringent control was exercised to block new projects in processing industries and avoid redundancy in low-level development. Second, we energetically developed high and new tech industries. The IT industry in particular, and vigorously promoted IT application to our national economy and society. Through deeper reform and opening up and greater investments, our information industry has advanced by leaps and bounds.
Third, we work actively to renovate and upgrade traditional industries. We supported massive technological renovation and structural readjustment in key industries, key enterprises, and key product lines by allowing interest discounts on treasury bond loans and simplifying the clearance procedures for technological transformation projects. In these 5 years, technological transformation projects with a total investment of 2.66 trillion yuan were completed, 67% over the figure for the previous 5 years. We used economic, legal, and necessary administrative measures to close a large number of enterprises that produced shoddy goods, wasted resources, seriously polluted the environment, or were unsafe for production. This eliminated large quantities of old equipment and many obsolete technologies and production processes, and reduce the excessive production capacity. Fourth, we worked hard to develop service industries. In particular, we took multiple measures to support and encourage faster development of modern service industries. Our country's prosperity depends on producing better goods. Herein also lies the fundamental answer to better economic efficiency and competitiveness. By adopting international standards, popularizing advanced know-how, improving authentication and certification, and strengthening quality control, China is constantly improving the quality of its goods and services in all industries and trades.
Three, steadfastly giving priority to solving the problems facing agriculture, rural areas, and farmers, and consolidating the position of agriculture as the foundation of the national economy. Problems facing agriculture, rural areas, and farmers have a crucial bearing on the country's reform, opening up, and modernization drive, and we should never overlook them or slacken our efforts to address them. We gave top priority to agricultural development, rural economic health, and increasing farmers' income in our economic work, and devoted a great deal of attention to them. First, we advanced structural readjustment in agriculture. The government guided farmers to grow crops and select crop varieties according to market demand, developed animal husbandry and aquatic farming, and readjusted the location of agricultural producing areas. Efforts were made to expand the methods of industrialized agricultural production and help large numbers of farmers to enter the market. At the same time, we took advantage of the abundance of grain to return more farmland to forests. These efforts have stimulated the restructuring of agriculture and directly increased farmers' income.
Second, we deepened the reform of the grain and cotton distribution systems. The fundamental orientation of this reform is to let market forces direct the buying and selling of grain and cotton. In taking specific reform measures, we have proceeded sure-footedly, mindful of the realities and taking into account the farmers' interests and preservation of the agricultural productive forces. In 1997, we started buying at protective prices all surplus grain farmers were willing to sell. In 1998, we went further by introducing a three-point policy calling for buying all surplus grain from farmers at protective prices, selling at market prices by state-owned grain dealers, and close movement of funds earmarked for grain purchases, as well as an accelerated reform of the state-owned grain enterprises. In 2001, we lifted the control on grain purchase and grain prices in the major grain purchasing areas, while continuing to buy all surplus grain at protective prices from farmers in the major grain producing areas. The results were remarkable. Reform to subordinate the buying and selling of cotton to market forces was also deepened.
Third, we carried out experimental reforms of taxes and administrative charges in rural areas. We have adopted a series of policies and measures to address the problem of excessive burden on farmers. The experiments, which began in 2000 in Anhui and parts of other provinces and was extended by 2002 to 20 provinces, autonomous regions and municipalities directly under the central government, has resulted in an average of 30% reduction in the burden on farmers. The central budget will allocate 30.5 billion yuan to support this reform in 2003. Going hand in hand with this have been coordinated reforms of town and township administrative setups, rural education and the county township financial system. Salaries of rural primary and secondary school teachers are now the exclusive responsibility of the county financial authorities. This has not only ensured that teachers are paid in full and on time, but also reduce the burden of farmers.
Fourth, we increased investment in agriculture and the countryside. In these 5 years, the central government allocated a total of 407.7 billion yuan to support rural production and various agricultural undertakings, a rise of 185.2 billion yuan compared with the previous 5 years. We devoted a large portion of the Treasury bond fund to agriculture and rural infrastructure development. These measures have played an important role in improving the production and living conditions of the rural population. Fifth, we intensified efforts to help the rural poor improve their lot through development. In these past 5 years, the central government spent a total of 48 billion yuan on property alleviation and work relief schemes and provided 77 billion yuan in discount interest loans for poverty alleviation, both figures being significant increases from the previous time.
Sixth, we provided guidance to ensure proper and orderly movement of rural labor. In implementing our urbanization strategy, we have made vigorous yet cautious efforts to develop small cities and towns. We encourage farmers to take up temporary or permanent jobs in cities and protect their legitimate rights and interests by rectifying policy discrimination and unauthorized collection of dues from farmers' laborers. Facts have proved that the decisions and plans made by the Party Central Committee and the State Council concerning agriculture and rural work in the new phase of China's development are correct. This government has concentrated an immense amount of energy on solving the problems facing agriculture, rural areas, and farmers, and the results are positive. Yet solving these problems once and for all is a long-term and arduous task that calls for persevering endeavor.
Four, steadfastly carrying forward the reform of state-owned enterprises and effectively strengthening re-employment work and development of the social security system. In the past 5 years, we fought a tenacious battle to deepen the reform of state-owned enterprises by adhering to the orientation of the socialist market economy, braving difficulties, overcoming tough obstacles, and constantly intensifying our work. First, we accelerated the development of the modern corporate system in line with the principles of clearly established property right ownership, well-defined rights and responsibilities, separation of enterprises from government and scientific management. Vigorous efforts were made to carry out reforms aimed at introducing the stockholding system and improving corporate governance and to encourage eligible large state-owned enterprises to get listed. After the stockholding system was established, in the past 5 years, 442 additional state-owned or state-holding enterprises were listed in and outside China. They raised 743.6 billion yuan, including 35.2 billion US dollars raised abroad.
Second, we established the mechanism of selection whereby superior enterprises will prosper and inferior ones be eliminated. We encourage large companies and enterprise groups with a competitive edge to grow bigger and stronger so that they will become key pillars of China's national economy and main participants in international competition. At the same time, we formulated a series of policies and measures so that a number of exhausted mines and enterprises that had long been in the red with no hope of becoming profitable were able to close down or declare bankruptcy smoothly. Third, work was done to reduce the burden on enterprises and free them from historical baggage. The four financial asset management companies set up as part of the reform to dispose of bad assets of the state-owned commercial banks selected 580 eligible large and medium-sized state-owned enterprises for their debt-to-equity reform. The asset-liability ratio has dropped for those enterprises that have undergone this reform, and most of them have become profitable.
Fourth, we made vigorous efforts to encourage innovation in enterprise management. Strong efforts were made to promote enterprise IT application, improve management of cost, capital, and product quality, and raise the level of enterprises' modern management in an all-round way. Fifth, we intensified external supervision over enterprises. The State Council has appointed supervisory boards to 192 key state-owned enterprises and some state-owned financial organizations and instituted economic accountability auditing for leaders of all state-owned enterprises and state-owned financial organizations.
One important reason for our major progress in the reform of state-owned enterprise is that we stuck to the policy of encouraging mergers, standardizing bankruptcy, laying off and reassigning redundant workers, streamlining for higher efficiency and implementing reemployment projects, and we worked hard to promote reemployment and improve the social security system. In recent years, the Party Central Committee and the State Council formulated a succession of policies and measures. Reemployment service centers were set up to help laid-off workers make ends meet, pay social insurance for them, and promote their reemployment. When enterprises went under, priority was given to properly arranging for their employees. Since 1998, state-owned enterprises have laid off more than 27 million workers. Over 90% of them have benefited from reemployment service centers, and more than 18 million have found new jobs through various channels. At the same time, steps were taken to improve the three-stage guarantees for laid-off workers. Governments at all levels have increased their capital spending year after year on social security and reemployment. In 2002, the central government spent 59.4 billion yuan to support the two guarantees and subsistence allowances, 6.2 times that of 1998. The experiment on improving the urban social security system carried out in Liaoning province since 2001 has been a success, and it has yielded valuable experience for gradual application nationwide.
Facts have proved that the policies and guidelines of the Party Central Committee and the State Council on reforming state-owned enterprises, promoting reemployment and strengthening the social security system are correct, complement one another, and form an integral framework. We can reach the goals of the reform of state-owned enterprises only when we follow these policies and guidelines completely.
Five. Steadfastly opening wider to the outside world and actively participating in international economic and technological cooperation and competition. Despite the grim international economic environment, we have created a new situation in our opening up by responding positively, striving to seek advantages and avoid disadvantages, and turning challenges into opportunities. While pursuing the policy of expanding domestic demand, We have never slackened our drive to increase exports. In the second half of 1998, China's exports registered a negative growth because of the Asian financial crisis. Still, we refused to devalue the RMB and took a series of resolute policies and measures to encourage exports. Thanks to these effective measures, we have overcome many difficulties and increased our exports substantially. Facts have proved that the policy decisions and measures we took to keep the RMB stable and do everything possible to increase exports are correct. We encourage qualified enterprises, regardless of their forms of ownership, to go global, explore the international market, invest in enterprises abroad, and increase exports of equipment, spare parts and accessories, and labor services.
With respect to other developing countries, especially our neighboring countries, we provided them with economic and technological assistance, contracted for and invested in development projects, invested in business operations, and provided interest-free or low-interest loans. This was highly significant in that it helped consolidate the traditional friendship between China and these countries and promoted mutual benefit and common development. We took advantage of the new features of the international movement of capital to actively use more funds from foreign sources. We focused on improving the quality of foreign capital use and integrated with readjustment of domestic industrial structure, revamping and reorganizing of state-owned enterprises, and development of the Western region. Our efforts to improve the investment climate have borne fruit, and this has made China more attractive to foreign capital.
Six, implementing the strategy of invigorating the country through science, technology, and education, raising the nation's scientific and technological capability for innovation and improving the overall quality of the population. Developing science, technology, and education is a task of paramount importance for economic revitalization and the modernization of the country. Over the past few years, we have always made it an extremely important task to put the strategy of developing the country through science, technology, and education into practice. Spending on science, technology, and education rose considerably in the past 5 years. The central government spent a total of 250 billion yuan on science and technology, more than double the figure for the previous 5 years. Investment from the central government on state high-tech research and development plans, the state natural science fund, and development of the national innovation system also increased considerably. Conditions for scientific research were improved markedly, accelerating the country's scientific and technological innovation.
Budgetary spending on education nationwide in 2002 was 336.6 billion yuan, 1.8 times that in 1997. Educational spending by the central government has increased by 1 percentage point each year as a proportion of its total expenditures. In addition, the central government allocated huge sums of money to pay salaries in arrears to primary and secondary school teachers and to refurbish school buildings in poor conditions. Reforms of the science, technology, and education systems were deepened, and efforts were redoubled to promote their integration with economic and social development. The national evaluation and incentive system for science and technology was improved, complete with a policy to consider expertise and management as factors in the distribution of income, with awards for scientists, engineers, managers and administrators who have made outstanding contributions. The appointment system was followed in all research institutes. Young college teachers were rewarded for excellent job performance. The government had raised the pay for teachers several times and improved their working and living conditions.
We encourage top-notch talents with innovative ideas to come to the fore. These measures have been effective in stimulating the enthusiasm of scientists, engineers, and teachers in implementing the strategy of building up the strength of the country with talented people. We accorded priority to training, attracting, and utilizing professionals, and improved the systems and procedures for training and placement of people with expertise, thus creating an environment conducive to bringing up talented people in large numbers and to fully utilizing their expertise. Over the past few years, we have adhered to the principle of doing two types of work at the same time and attaching equal importance to both, worked hard to strengthen social and spiritual civilization, continued to raise the ideological and ethical standards and scientific and cultural levels of the whole nation, provided great spiritual motivation and intellectual support to the modernization drive, and promoted coordinated economic and social development. Seven, continuing to take the path of sustainable development and promoting a coordinated development of the economy, population, resources, and the environment. Family planning and protection of the environment and natural resources are basic state policies of China. Under no circumstances should we seek temporary economic development at the expense of the environment and resources. We have always given priority to our sustainable development strategy. We substantially increased our investments in this field, identified the root causes of the problems, and persisted in seeking both temporary and permanent solutions.
First, we redoubled our efforts to protect and improve the ecological environment. Following the 1998 catastrophic flooding, we reviewed the past experiences and implemented the basic measures of closing off hills for tree planting, returning farmland to forests or lakes, leveling protective embankments to facilitate floodwater discharge, providing work relief, resettling displaced people in newly built towns, reinforcing the main dikes and dredging rivers. We launched projects to protect the natural forests in major forest areas and along the upper and middle reaches of the Yangtze River and the Yellow River. We systematically returned large tracts of cultivated land to forests and pastures in ecologically fragile areas. Such measures as returning farmland to forest, closing off hills for afforestation, providing grain relief to make up for crop losses, and contracting reforesting projects to individuals who adopt it. We draw on and spread the experience. The right to forest is the core. Grain supply is the key. Seeds and seedlings should be provided first, and cutters guarantee implementation. Rural households subsidized with free grain, seeds, and seedlings, as well as cash for living expenses. We're enthusiastic about returning farmland to forests and pastures. In the Yangtze River Valley, we implemented the policy of removing protective embankments to facilitate floodwater discharge, restoring reclaimed farmland to lakes, and relocating the displaced people in newly built towns. As a result, 2,900 square kilometers of water surface were restored, increasing the river's floodwater storage capacity by 13 billion cubic meters. Specifically, 880 square kilometers were restored to the Boyang Lake and 600 square kilometers to the Dongting Lake. This represented a great shift from the century's long history of reclaiming farmland from lakes to restoring it to them on a large scale.
Second, we protected our resources more effectively and utilized them more rationally. Management of land, mineral, freshwater, sea, biological, and other resources was improved. Third, we strengthened the prevention and control of environmental pollution. Efforts were concentrated on controlling pollution in key river valleys, regions, sea areas, and cities. We intensified development of environmental infrastructure. Public awareness campaigns were carried out to increase the people's enthusiasm for environmental protection. Fourth, we strengthened the family planning work. We persisted in controlling the size of the population and raising its quality. The current family planning policy has been kept stable, and the low birth rate has been maintained. We established and improved the target responsibility system for population and family planning, and implemented this basic state policy in real earnest.
8.
Doing everything possible to maintain social stability and creating a favorable environment for reform and development. We took great care to handle the relationships among reform, development, and stability. We were able to balance the momentum of reform and the speed of development against the people's resilience. In conceiving and implementing a major reform, we'll fully consider if the country's financial resources, the enterprises, and the people are able to sustain its impact, weigh carefully its timing, tempo, and intensity. For major reforms, we'll first experiment with projects and gradually expand to other areas only after gaining useful experience. We worked hard to solve practical problems facing the needy in their work and daily life, while ensuring a good job on social security, reemployment, and rural poverty alleviation. We made great efforts to solve such problems as wage arrears by enterprises and excessive heavy burden on farmers. Also, in tackling financial risks, the government spent a considerable amount of money ironing out troubles caused by old debts that were adversely affecting the interests of the masses.
We correctly handled the contradictions among the people arising from the new situation. Some unexpected incidents involving mass participation were handled appropriately. Efforts were made to resolve conflicts and disputes in the bud and at the lowest level. We adopted comprehensive measures to maintain law and order. Production safety was strengthened and the responsibility system for production safety was improved. We made practical efforts to safeguard state security. The funding mechanism to ensure the wherewithal of procuratorial, judicial, and public security organs has been improved, providing needed support for their work.
9. Continuing to transform government functions and endeavoring to build a clean, diligent, efficient, and pragmatic government. Over the past few years, the government has made great progress in strengthening itself. First, we carried out major reforms of government institutions. In 1998, the State Council was downsized from 40 to 29 agencies, and a quarter of its internal departments and half of its workforce were reduced. In 2001, 9 more state industrial administrations were abolished, and the roles played by market law enforcement and regulatory authorities were further elevated. Corresponding reforms were also carried out in the composition of local governments at all levels. The number of the country's administrative personnel was cut by a total of 1.15 million. This reform changed the long-standing framework of government institutions established during the plan economy. Difficult as it was, the reform progressed smoothly due to our appropriate measures and careful work.
In a socialist market economy, the government's responsibilities should mainly encompass economic regulation, market oversight, social governance, and public service. The government must always attend to its affairs. However, it must not meddle in what is not its business. The transformation of government functions requires that we reform the system of administrative examination and approval. So far, 1,195 items originally subject to examination and approval have been nullified by the State Council and still more by the local governments at all levels. Efforts were made to increase law enforcement oversight, improve transparency of government work, and support the general public and the media in their oversight of the work of the government. We pay close attention to the work related to letters and visits from the people.
This government has attached a great importance to building a contingent of public servants with a fine work style. Since the very beginning of its term, this government has demanded that all government functionaries be clean, diligent, pragmatic, and efficient. This has promoted the building of a clean government, raised efficiency of governance, and preserved close ties between the government and the people. We made unremitting efforts to combat corruption, rectify unhealthy tendencies in some departments and trades, and punish according to law quite a few corrupt elements. We are fully aware that only by constantly improving themselves can the governments at all levels better adapt to the new situation of reform, opening up, and modernization. And can they win the genuine support from the people?
Fellow deputies, the achievements China has made in various fields over the past 5 years have not come by easily. We owe them to the correct leadership and decisions of the third generation of collective central leadership with Comrade Jiang Zemin at the core, to the unity and hardship of the people of all ethnic groups, and to the support and assistance from overseas Chinese and our international friends. Here, on behalf of the State Council, I would like to pay our highest tribute to all our workers, farmers, intellectuals, and cadres, to officers and men of the People's Liberation Army, the Armed Police, and the Public Security Police. I would like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the people of all ethnic groups, all democratic parties, mass organizations, and other people from all walks of life for their trust and support of the government. I would also like to express our sincere thanks to our compatriots in the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region, the Macau Special Administrative Region, Taiwan, and the overseas Chinese communities who have cared about and supported the development and reunification of our motherland, and to all friends in other countries who have cared about and supported China's modernization drive.
We are clearly aware that there are still some outstanding difficulties and problems in China's economic and social life. They are in the main as follows: insufficient domestic effective demand, an inability of the supply structure to respond to changes in market demand, slow growth in the income of farmers and some urban residents, rise in the unemployed, and serious difficulties in some people's livelihood, continued inequalities, inequities in the distribution of income, arduous tasks remaining in the reform of state-owned enterprises, the need to continue to rectify and standardize the order of the market economy, sporadic occurrence of major industrial accidents, poor public security in some places, degradation of the ecological environment in some areas, continued isolation from the people and perpetration of formalism, bureaucracy, falsification, extravagance and waste among some government officials and certain types of corruption remaining conspicuous. Some of these problems are the legacy of the past. Others are hardly avoidable in the course of institutional transition and structural readjustment. And still others are caused by shortcomings and inadequacies in our work. More steps should be taken conscientiously to solve them.
Part 2. Suggestions for the work of the government in 2003. The 16th National Congress of the Communist Party of China set the goal of building a Wolof society in an all-round way in the first 20 years of this century, and it pointed the way for opening a new stage in the cause of building socialism with Chinese characteristics. The year 2003 is the first year of our work to comprehensively implement the spirit of the 16th Party Congress, and the success in the work of the government for this year will be of tremendous importance. According to the general requirements for our work this year as set forth by the CPC Central Committee, the State Council wishes to put forward the following suggestions for the work of the government in 2003.
1. Continue to expand domestic demand and achieve a steady and rapid economic growth. Maintaining the good momentum of economic growth is the basis for success in all fields of our work. Based on our overall analysis of the situation at home and abroad, we set the target for 2003 economic growth at around 7%. It is imperative that we pay adequate attention to raising the quality and efficiency of economic growth by readjusting and optimizing the economic structure. We should adhere to the policy of expanding domestic demand, continue to implement the proactive fiscal policy and prudent monetary policy, and ensure a double pull effect on economic growth from both consumption demand and investment demand. First of all, we should strive to expand consumption demand. Given the current situation, this is more important than greater investment demand. We should continue to increase the income of urban and rural residents, especially those with low income, and work hard to raise the living standards of the population. We should do everything possible to increase farmers' income and lighten their burden. We should effectively solve the problems the needy face in work and livelihood.
A relatively fast increase in investment should be maintained. We plan to issue 140 billion yuan of long-term construction treasury bonds in 2003. We should redirect the use of funds to be raised from treasury bonds. We should reasonably guard against redundant low-level development. While continuing to watch out for and diffuse financial risks, we should generate more financial resources to support economic development. We should improve banking services, tighten financial regulation, and develop securities, insurance, and money markets in accordance with established standards.
Second, promote all-round development of agriculture and the rural economy. We should continue to take developing agriculture and the rural economy and increasing farmers' income as the top priority of our economic work. Economic and social development in urban and rural areas must be coordinated, and work relating to agriculture, rural areas, and farmers must be done well. We should accelerate structural readjustment in agriculture and rural economy. We should continue readjusting the distribution of agriculture areas and promoting industrialization of agriculture. We should vigorously develop animal husbandry, aquatic farming, and the processing of agricultural products. While continuing to deepen various reforms in rural areas, we should extend the experiments with rural taxes and administrative charges to all parts of the country on the basis of well-summed up experience and improved policies. We should conscientiously implement all policies and measures designed to lighten the burden on farmers. We should deepen the reform of the grain and cotton distribution system. We should invest more in the development of agriculture infrastructure and in agricultural science and technology. More assistance should be given to major grain-producing areas. A good job should be done in alleviating poverty through development. We should coordinate and guide the shifting of surplus rural labor to non-agriculture undertakings better and protect the legitimate rights and interests of farmer laborers holding temporary or permanent jobs in cities.
3. Aggressively push forward the readjustment of the industrial structure and the development of the Western region. Vigorous efforts should be made to develop high-end new tech industries that can greatly spur our economic growth. We should make extensive use of advanced adaptive technologies to transform traditional industries. We should do a good job in planning and readjusting the development of our steel, automobile, and building materials industries to prevent blind expansion and disorderly competition. The development of our Western vision requires sound and persistent efforts. We should focus on key projects, stress practical results, and lay a solid foundation while continuing to strengthen our protection of the ecological environment and infrastructure development. We should effectively restore cultivated land to forests, protect natural forests, and prevent further desertification. The program of restoring grazing areas to grassland should continue. Economic activities with local characteristics and competitive industries should be given greater support. We should give greater support to the old industrial bases in their efforts to quicken readjustment and technological transformation. Encourage cities or areas that are mainly dependent on resource exploitation to develop alternative industries, and help the older revolutionary base areas and areas inhabited by ethnic minorities to develop more quickly.
4. Deepen economic restructuring and open steel wider to the outside world. We should continue to push reforms, turning state-owned enterprises into standard joint stock companies, and improve the mechanisms of supervision over them in accordance with the requirements of establishing a modern corporate system. We should actively support eligible large enterprises to become listed on overseas stock markets. We should carry forward the reform of the power, telecommunications, and civil aviation industries. We should reform the state property management system from top to bottom in an orderly way. We should steadily carry out reform of the financial system and continue reforms of the taxation, investment, and financing system. We should deepen reform of the system for income distribution and progressively rationalize it. Rectifying and regulating the order of the market economy is a long-term and demanding task, but we must persevere. We should continue to focus on special areas and key links and crack down severely on the making and selling of counterfeit and shoddy goods and other illegal and criminal activities. We should speed up the establishment of our social credibility system. We should pay close attention to ensuring production safety to effectively protect people's lives and property. We should open up further by integrating our bringing in and going global strategies. While continuing to do a good job during the grace period after our entry into the WTO, we should conscientiously exercise our rights and fulfill our commitments. We need stability in our policies and measures to promote exports. We should continue our market diversification strategy and expand trading goods and services on the basis of fine quality. We should deepen the reform of the foreign trade system and continue to actively and effectively use foreign capital. Vigorous efforts should be made to improve our investment environment and standardize procedures for attracting investment.
5. Further improve the work of job creation and social security. Adhering to the policy that calls for the worker to find a job on his own, the market to regulate employment and the government to promote job creation, we should do everything possible to expand employment and re-employment. Policies and measures designed to encourage re-employment of laid-off workers must be conscientiously carried out. We should encourage people to look for jobs on their own or become self-employed and promote flexible and diverse types of employment. We should vigorously develop vocational training and employment services and improve our guidance and services to college and vocational school graduates in their search for jobs and career opportunities. We should continue improving the work of ensuring payment on time and in full of the living allowances for workers laid off from state-owned enterprises, the basic pensions for retirees and subsistence allowances for the urban poor, and streamlining the three-stage guarantees. Social security coverage should be expanded by upgrading basic old-age pensions and medical insurance for workers of enterprises in urban areas. We should rationally determine the criteria for eligible recipients and the exact level of each recipient so that all the eligible urban poor will receive the benefits to which they are entitled. Work should be done to ensure the success of pilot programs for a new type of rural cooperative medical system. We should also improve our work concerning senior citizens and give greater support to the cause of the disabled.
6. Conscientiously implement the strategy of national rejuvenation through science, technology, and education, and the strategy of sustainable development. We should continue to increase investment for developing science, technology, and education. State plans for medium and long-term development of science and technology should be promptly formulated and implemented. We need to promote the development of a state innovation system. We should effectively strengthen our basic and high-tech research and enhance our capabilities for scientific and technological innovation and competition. We should strengthen the infrastructure for science and technology, continue to restructure the administration of science and technology activities, improve their service system, strengthen the protection of intellectual property rights, and facilitate a faster transition from research achievements to actual productivity. We should deepen the reform of the educational system and accelerate the development of all types of education at all levels and improve the quality of education. We should continue implementing the strategy of making China strong by giving full play to the role of talented people. We should keep up our good work with regard to population and family planning. We should effectively protect, rationally exploit, and economize on natural resources. Protection and conservation of the ecological environment should be strengthened, and disaster prevention and reduction should be effectively carried out.
7. Strengthen the building of socialist democracy, the legal system, and spiritual civilization. We should develop socialist democracy and build a socialist political civilization. We should combine rule of law with rule by virtue in running the country, improve the socialist legal system. Firmly grasping the orientation of advanced culture, we should redouble our efforts to build up a socialist spiritual civilization. We should further develop cultural undertakings such as literature, art, mass media, publishing, radio, film, and television, and bring out a large number of quality works. We should actively promote the reform and development of health and sports undertakings. We should conscientiously do a good job in preparing for the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing and the 2010 World Expo in Shanghai. We must spare no effort in maintaining social stability.
8. Earnestly improve the government itself. We must deepen the reform of the administrative system. In keeping with separation of the government from enterprises and the principles of simplification, consistency, and efficiency, we should continue to transform government functions, reorganize the government setup, clarify the functions of government departments, reduce administrative examination and approval, and improve government management so as to bring about an administrative system that has standardized behavior and operational harmony that is fair, transparent, clean, and efficient. The Party Central Committee and the State Council have completed a plan for the reform of the government setup, which will be submitted to this session of the National People's Congress for its consideration. We must follow the law and be strict in performing our official duties. We must keep up our anti-corruption fight, energetically rectify misconduct and unhealthy tendencies in various trades and government departments. We should intensify administrative supervision and auditing and oversight by the media and the general public. Government officials at all levels should go to the people in their neighborhoods and homes, listen to their views, care about their hardships, and promptly attend to their grievances. Given the new situation, we should be all the more mindful of potential perils and prepare for the worst. It is incumbent upon all of us to remain modest, prudent, and free from arrogance and rashness in our style of work, and to preserve the style of plain living and hard work.
Meanwhile, we should also do a good job in strengthening ethnic solidarity and maintaining national unity and social stability, in strengthening national defense and the armed forces, and in maintaining the prosperity, stability, and development in Hong Kong and Macau. We must implement the basic principles of peaceful reunification and one country, two systems, and the 8-point proposal for the settlement of the Taiwan question, strive for an early resumption of dialogue and negotiation between the two sides of the Taiwan Straits on the basis of the One China principle, and strongly oppose any statements or actions aimed at creating Taiwan independence, two Chinas, or One China, One Taiwan. We should further expand the scope of personnel visits across the Straits, as well as exchanges and cooperation in the economic, cultural, and other fields, while vigorously promoting the opening of the three direct links between the two sides. Fellow deputies, the 16th National Party Congress has mapped out a grand blueprint and program of action for building a Wolof society in China in an all-round way. Our great motherland already stands at a higher historic point of departure, as it sets out on a more glorious long march. No difficulties or obstacles can stop the triumphant advance of Chinese people. Looking into the future of our motherland, we see a vista of limitless promise. We firmly believe that under the leadership of the Party Central Committee with Comrade Hu Jintao as its General Secretary, the people of all ethnic groups throughout the country, holding high the great banner of Deng Xiaoping theory and thoroughly putting into practice the important thought of three represents, would dedicate their hearts and souls to the cause of building socialism with Chinese characteristics and achieve victory upon victory on the road of progress.
Since 1998, Premier Chu has presented the government work report annually in the Great Hall of the People. Today's presentation was literally its last as Premier. During the 16th Party Congress of the CPC, Premier Zhu was not on the ballot of the new party leadership. That means he will for sure not only serve as the premier after this NPC session concludes. According to routine practice, the major task of the opening ceremony of the annual NPC is to hear the government work report given by the incumbent premier of the State Council. And now, Executive Chairman of the 10th NPC proceeding, Wu Bangguo, is speaking. And we can hear the approaches from the deputies. And Executive Chairman of the 10th NPC proceeding, Wu Bangguo, is announcing the conclusion of the morning session of the first session of the 10th National People's Congress. You've just watched a live coverage of the opening ceremony of the 10th National People's Congress, brought to you by CCTV International. Now let's have a recap of what Premier Zhu Rongji said in his government work report. In his review of the work of the government in the past 5 years, Zhu Rongji said the national economy maintained good growth momentum and important advances were made in the strategic restructuring of the economy. China's GDP rose from 7.4 trillion yuan in 1997 to 10.2 trillion yuan in 2002, with an average annual increase of 7.7%. China's foreign exchange reserves climbed from $139 billion 5 years ago to $286 billion in 2002. The reform and opening up has achieved many breakthroughs, and the basis of a socialist market economy has been established. The ownership structure has been further readjusted and improved, where the public sector grew stronger and individually owned businesses, private enterprises, and other non-public sectors developed fairly fast. The framework of a social security system has been established by and large. In the past 5 years, people's lives have improved notably and on the whole attained the level of being well off. Notable progress has also been achieved in the national defense and army building, in promoting national reunification, and in diplomatic work. Premier Zhu Rongji summed up the past experiences and said the achievements were made thanks to the government's adherence to the following policies. The government has maintained the right direction and intensity of microeconomic regulation and implemented the proactive fiscal policy and the prudent monetary policy. The government has taken economic restructuring as paramount and worked hard to improve the quality and efficiency of economic growth. The government has given priority to solving the problems facing agriculture, rural areas, and farmers, and consolidated the position of agriculture as the foundation of the national economy. The government has also carried forward the reform of state-owned enterprises and effectively strengthened re-employment work and development of the social security system. The government has opened wider to the outside world and actively participated in international economic and technological cooperation and competition. The government has implemented the strategy of invigorating the country through science, technology, and education. The government has continued to take the path of sustainable development and promoted a coordinated development of the economy, population, resources, and the environment. The government has done everything possible to maintain social stability and created a favorable environment for reform and development. The government has also continued to transform government functions and endeavor to build a clean, diligent, efficient, and pragmatic government. In the last part of his report, the Premier put forward suggestions for the work of the government in 2003, the first year to comprehensively implement the spirit of the 16th Party Congress. They include continue to expand domestic demand and achieve a steady and rapid economic growth, promote all-round development of agriculture and the rural economy, push forward the readjustment of the industrial structure and the development of the Western region, deepen economic restructuring and open still wider to the outside world, further improve the work of job creation and social security, strengthen the building of socialist democracy, the legal system, and spiritual civilization, earnestly improve the government itself. The premier finally said no difficulties or obstacles can stop the advances of the Chinese people, and China will achieve victory upon victory on the road of progress under the leadership of the Communist Party of China. That's all for this live coverage of the opening ceremony of the 10th National People's Congress. In the next 2 weeks, CCTV and I will bring all the latest developments in the ongoing Congress, including more live broadcasts and in-depth reports on the event. Tomorrow, Chinese Foreign Minister Tang Jiaxuan will give a press conference in the afternoon on the sidelines of the meeting. CCTV and I will bring you a live coverage of the event. Hope you can join us then. I'm Li Maoqi, broadcasting live from Beijing. Thank you for watching, and see you tomorrow.
Watching CCTV International. In recent years, many aquatic animals have been invited to settle in the Beijing Aquarium. How are they faring now? Do they like their new homes and food?